took deep, quiet breaths and twisted my left hand. My flesh screamed protest, but I only embraced the pain and continued to move slow and steady. I got the fingers of my right hand to lightly grasp the manacle on my left wrist and began to draw my hand steadily against the cold, binding circle of metal. My hand folded in a way that was utterly alien in sensation, and the screaming pain of it stole my breath. But it slipped an inch beneath the metal cuff. I twisted my hand again, in exactly the same motion, never letting up the pressure, working to encompass the pain as something to aid me rather than distract. I slipped an inch closer to freeing my hand. The pain became more and more intense, despite my efforts to divert it, like an afternoon sun that burns brightly into your eyes even though they're closed. Only a moment more. I only needed to remain silent and focused for a few more seconds. I bore the pain, I kept up the pressure, and abruptly, I felt the cold metal of the cuff flick over the outside of my thumb, one of the few spots on my fingers where much tactile sensation remained. My hand came free, and I clutched tightly to the empty cuff with my right hand to keep it from rattling. I opened my eyes and glanced around the garage. Crane paced back and forth in conversation on his phone. I waited until his back was mostly turned to move. Then I rose and slipped the chain through the U-bolt on the floor until the circle of the cuff pressed against the bolt. I was still tethered by a chain, perhaps a foot long, but I moved as silently as I could and reached out with my throbbing left hand for the wheeled tool cabinet. I had trouble getting my fingers to cooperate, but I slipped the cabinet open. The tools inside it had been there for a long time, several years at least. They were spotted with rust. I could only see about half the cabinet from where I crouched, and there wasn't anything there that could help me. I hated to do it, but I felt around the unseen portion of the cabinet with my clumsy fingers. I was terrified that I wouldn't be able to feel a tool even if my fingers found it, and even more frightened by the knowledge that I might knock something over and draw attention. My hand shook, but I felt through the cabinet as quickly and lightly as I could, starting at the top and moving down. On the floor of the cabinet, I felt an object, the handle of some kind of tool. I drew it out as quietly as I could and found myself holding a hacksaw. My heart leapt with excitement. I returned to more or less my original position, with my captors seemingly none the wiser, and took a grip on the saw. My distorted thumb hurt abominably, so I took the hacksaw in my right hand, took a deep breath, and then began slicing at the chain link immediately below the empty manacle. I could only cut in strokes 8 or 9 inches long because of the chain still attached to my right wrist, and it made a low, buzzing racket that could not be mistaken for anything but a saw. I was sure I would not have time to cut myself free, but the heavy-duty steel of the hacksaw's blade ripped into the silvery metal chain as if it were made of pine. 3, 4, 5 strokes of the hacksaw, and the link parted. I jerked hard with my right hand, and the chain slid through the U-bolt, the broken link snapping as the cuffs struck the bolt. I rose, free. Crane let out a sudden, startled sound, dropped his cell phone, and went for his gun. There was no time to free Rawlins, so I tossed him the hacksaw, and then threw myself to one side as Crane let off a shot. Sparks leapt up from the rolling cabinet surface, and a rush of adrenaline made the pains of my body vanish. I kept my head down as low as I could and scurried to one side, attempting to put the bulk of an old rusted pickup truck between Crane and me. I reached for my magic, but the cuff still attached to my arm reacted with that same burst of agony, splintering my concentration. I caught a glimpse of movement. Crane circled to one side, looking for a clear line of fire. I maneuvered like a squirrel, keeping the truck between us and crouching low to deny him a clean shot. I went for the passenger door, hoping to find something, anything I could use to defend myself in the truck. Locked.
Glau!
Crane shouted. His second shot shattered the truck's passenger window, the bullet passing within a few inches of my head. I reached up, unlocked the truck's door, and swung it open. The cab was cluttered with empty cigarette packs, discarded fast food wrappers, crushed beer cans, a heavy-duty claw hammer, and three or four glass beer bottles. Perfect.